You know, Jesus is many things to us. The Bible says that he's the author and finisher of our faith, the bread of life, the captain of our salvation, the Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Deliverer, the Good Shepherd, our High Priest, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's our rock, our Passover lamb, our mediator, our redeemer, our righteousness. And I could go on. There's probably 100 others that I could mention, and any one of them you could dwell upon, and you could find richness and sweetness in the name or the description of what Christ is to us. But one thing that thrills my soul above all others that the Bible talks about is what we read this morning from John chapter 15. He's my friend. My friend. The songwriter conveys what I'd like to do this morning when he wrote, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so kind and true, I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." I want to make several points this morning about the friendship that Jesus Christ has for us. Number one, friendship is a relationship of choice. We don't get to choose our parents. We don't get to choose our grandparents. We don't even get to choose our children. But we do choose our friends. Jesus chose us. We read about it. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've called you friends." Not servants, but friends. I want you to think for a minute about those on this earth that you call friends. Why are they your friends? Because you chose them to be. I mean, of all the people that you know, of all the people that you come in contact with, of all the people that you interact with, you have chosen a few to be your friends. I mean, compared to all the people that you know, there's probably a handful that are truly your friends. And you chose them to be your friend. In the same way, Jesus has chosen all of us to be his friend. The one that back in the at the beginning of the world spoke the worlds into existence. The one that put all the planets in their place and hung all the stars. The one that by his word created everything that we see in the earth around us. That same Jesus has chosen you and me as individuals. And I know the Bible says, "For God so loved the whole world." But God chose you and I. Jesus chose you and I as individuals to be his friend. Now stop and think about that just for a minute. Just stop and think about it just for a second. Again, you know many different people in your life. You interact with many different people. There's probably 100 people here today that you can say, "I attended church with 100 people or more here today." And yet, out of all those people that you know, you have bestowed an honor on, a handful that you would say, "They are my friends. I have chosen them to be my friend." And the one that created everything that's about us has chosen you and I to be his friend. Second thing I would tell you about friendship is that friendship can be a one-sided relationship. The Bible says, and we read it in verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Jesus didn't choose us because we chose him. And I'm going to talk about it in a minute. He chose us before we even wanted to choose him. Before we knew that we should choose him. I mean, he chose us before we chose him. And Jesus is not like us. You see, if I choose somebody to be my friend, and they don't reciprocate, if they say, "Okay, Brother Darrell, yeah, I know you want to be my friend, but I don't want to be your friend.
We don't like the same things. We don't like to do the same things. So I'm glad you've thought enough of me to choose me to be your friend, but choose somebody else because I don't want to be your friend. What do? Well, we unchoose them as a friend. We write them off. We say, okay, if you don't want to be my friend, I don't want to be your friend. Jesus does not do that to us. Praise God. I mean, he chose us, and regardless of how we react to his friendship, regardless if we reciprocate or not, regardless if we want to be his friend or not, he is our friend. He has chosen us, and whatever, however we react will not change the fact that he has chosen us to be his friend. Number three, my friend Jesus is a steadfast friend. You know, sometimes friends are hard to identify. You have friends in June and July when it's warm and everything's going good. But in January, when it's bleak and cold, are they still there? You have friends when the sea is calm and there's no waves and wind. But when the tempest comes and the winds begin to blow and the boat begins to rock, that's when you find out who your true friends are. It's not in the sunshine of health that we determine who our true friends are, but in the clouds and shadows of sickness that your friends show up. My friend, the Bible says, sticketh closer than a brother. Sticketh closer than a brother. He's my friend when my life is full of faith, but he's also my friend when I have a boatload of doubts. He's my friend when I'm successful, but he's also my friend when I fail at everything I do. He's my friend when I'm good, but he's also my friend when I'm not good. He's my friend when I'm on the up and up, but he's also my friend when I'm down and discouraged. He's my friend when I'm prospering, but he's also just as much my friend when I am like the prodigal son, broke and undone. He's my friend when I'm laughing, but he's even more my friend those times in my life when I weep. And I'll come back to this point in just a minute. But regardless, here's what the truth I want you to catch. Regardless of what is going on in my life, in your life, he is our friend. Number four, my friend loves me. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what my friend did for me. When I deserved to die, when I deserved to pay the debt of my sins. You see, every single one of us are sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. I committed a sin. That makes me a sinner. And I deserve to pay the penalty that the Bible says is associated with sin. For the wages of sin is death. I deserve to be separated from God. I don't deserve to be with God. I don't deserve him as my friend. I had that sin in my life that separates me from a holy, righteous God. The same sin that Jesus, my sin, Jesus took to the cross. And my sin separated Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, from the Father. And in that separation, he paid the debt that I owe. And my friend loved me enough to take my place and die for the price that I should have paid. Now, he did not do that because we deserved it. The Bible says he commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. No wonder the songwriter says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. The prophet Isaiah foretold it hundreds of years before it happened. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What a friend. What a friend. What a friend. Number five, I will never be separated from my friend's love. Listen. I and you will never, ever be separated from the love of Jesus Christ. Bible says in the book of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's a steadfast friend. There is nothing in this world, nothing out of this world. And Paul just threw in for good, make sure he covered everything when he said, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When I ignore him, he's still my friend. When I put other things first in my life instead of him, he is still my friend. When I push him away and don't want anything to do with him, he is still my friend. It's like Elijah and Elijah. You remember the story over there in the book of 1st and or 2nd Kings? Elijah was getting ready to go to heaven, and Elisha was the one that God had chosen to replace him. And Elijah said to Elisha, God's told me to go to Bethel. You stay here. And Elisha said, oh, no. I'm going with you. If you're going to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. I will not leave thee. They got to Bethel, and Elijah said to Elisha, God's told me to go to Jericho. It's okay for you to stay here. You don't have to go. And Elisha said, no, I'm going. If you're going to Jericho, I'm going to Jericho. I will not leave thee. They got to Jericho, and Elijah said to Elisha, God's told me to go to Jordan, the Jordan River. You don't need to go. You stay here. And Elisha said, I'm not leaving. If you're going to Jordan, I'm going to Jordan. I will not leave thee. And I want to tell you this morning, doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter how far you get away from God, Jesus says, if you're going, I'm going. I'm not leaving. I will not leave thee. Sometimes the circumstances of life cause us to think that God has turned his back on us. Sometimes the things that are going on in our life and the burdens that we carry and the sorrows that we have in our heart make us wonder if God's still there. And I would remind you this morning, he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there. We may not be able to note his presence. We may not be able to feel his comfort and his grace, but he is there. He promises that he'll never leave us. Number six, my friend is preparing a place for me. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, sometimes friends are separated, and then there comes a time when they can get back together for a while. And all of you have been in a situation where you had a friend coming to visit. You made preparation. You cleaned up the guest bedroom, changed the sheets, maybe put flowers on the table. You stocked up on your friend's favorite food. I mean, you had everything ready for that friend to come and to spend some time with you. That's exactly what Jesus is doing for us right now. He is in heaven. He is preparing a place for you. You say, I know, preacher, he's preparing a place for all the Christians that are one day going to come to heaven. Yes, that's one way to think about it, but it's more special and sweet to think about that he is preparing a place for you as an individual. You see, Jesus knows Brother Wendell. He won't have nuts in Brother Wendell's room. Of course, you get a new body, you won't have to worry about those nuts. Hey, amen. But that's a bad example. Here's what I'm saying. He knows I'm coming. There'll be a bowl of Butterfingers in my mansion in heaven. There'll be some banana pudding, cornbread and beans for the first. Amen, Brother Leonard. Amen. He knows us as individuals. Yeah, he's preparing heaven for everybody, but he's preparing heaven for you, his friend.
His friend. I remember before my wife's grandmother went to heaven. We didn't get to see her very often, maybe once or twice a year. She lived down in Mississippi. And so we'd, you know, pile the kids in the car and we'd drive 1,000 miles there and 1,000 miles back. And we'd only get to say 2 or 3 days, 4 or 5 maybe at the most. But when you walked in the house, you knew that Missam had prepared for you. I mean, we'd usually get there about dinner time. And she'd have chicken and dumplings, green beans, cornbread ready for us when we got there. And then every day, it was something special. Every day, she had something planned to make us know how pleased that she was and how happy she was that we came. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven, is doing the same thing for you. For you. For you. For you. For you. He's getting heaven ready for you. And then number 7, my friend wants to be your friend. You see, God's friendship is not exclusive. It's not, he's my friend and he can't be yours. His friendship is large enough and big enough to encompass the whole wide world and everybody that's in it. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let me just make it real simple and plain this morning. Jesus has chosen you to be his friend. None of us deserved it because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've sinned. If you have trouble thinking you're a sinner, just see me after the service and we'll just cover a couple of the Ten Commandments. And I think in just a few minutes I can convince you that you're a sinner. But in spite of our sin, he has chosen us to be his friend. He never leaves us or forsakes us. You say, preacher, I've never asked him to be my Savior. You mean he's with me? Yes, he is. He woos you to himself, the Bible says. He'll do what's necessary to give you every chance to choose him as a friend. Every chance. He'll do whatever's necessary in your life to get your attention, to let you know that he loves you and he has chosen you to be his friend. And what simply he wants you to do is to receive that friendship. Receive that sacrifice that he made on Calvary's cross. The payment that he made for your sin. He just wants you to take it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, he's your friend. He's got you here this morning. So you can hear that. He's got you here this morning so that you can hear that he's preparing a place for you in heaven. He's got you here this morning so that you'll ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you do that? I'm not going to ask you this morning to become a Baptist. I think being a Baptist is a pretty good thing. I don't want you to become a Baptist this morning. I'm not even going to ask you to join this church, although I think this is a pretty good church. I'm asking you this morning to join the family of God, to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be saved from your sin and have a home in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple that every single person, every adult, every teenager, every little child can understand it. And I pray this morning for every person in this building, for those in the auditorium here, for the juniors back in the fellowship hall, for every single person that's hearing the same gospel.
Father, if they don't know Christ, today would be the day they make the decision to receive him. Help those that are here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior to put aside the things that are blocking them, to put aside the things that are holding them back, and help them right now say to Jesus, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I trust you. I trust you to save me. I trust what you paid for me on Calvary's cross, and right now I'm asking you to be my Savior. Father, I pray that every person here that doesn't know Christ would do that right now. And then in a moment when we stand and have a word of invitation, that they would come and they would share with us that decision that they've made. Father, just bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.